Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Alrighty then, where's that starter button, Junior? Hit that starter button. Let's get this show underway, shall we? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Sure glad you could tune in tonight. Here on the program, man, we got a dandy for you lined up tonight. Lots to talk about, lots to tell you about, lots of drivers to hear from. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Joe Jr. right here in the RTR studio. What's going on, Junior?
Hey, you stepped on a rat's nest today, didn't
you?
Hey,
man, I'll tell you what, we're going to change a couple of things.
Hey, man, it's definitely pretty cool. It's the season to be talking about 2020, and all weekend long, we got a chance to sit on the couch, and leading up to the weekend, really,
yeah.
Got a chance to sit on the couch, watch some cool coverage from Pensacola, thanks to Speed 51, doing some bench racing, talking lots to different people, and talking about this new rules package at Sauble, and man, just an exciting weekend of racing stuff, yeah. And having fun with it.
Yeah, it sure is. I'll tell you what, busy weekend. Did the Sauble Speedway drivers meeting, Sauble Speedway, local racetrack here in our area, right on the edge of Lake Huron, 7 miles of white sand beach and a beautiful little short track just 2 miles off that coast. And Sauble Speedway's place that I am at, I'm helping Paul Grizzell out, and did the drivers meeting today, and we shook it up for Saturday night racing. Now, it just affects the Saturday night racing program, the four-cylinder guys, the eight-cylinder late model type cars, and rolled out a brand new package. We'll talk about it tonight in hour number two. We got so much to talk about. I know there's lots of comments on it, some very good positive comments, some other ones that guys sort of in the middle and undecided, just don't know what to think. And then I had a very few guys, actually four out of the whole meeting, that said, nah, this idea is crazy. So that'll give you a cross-section of what took place at that meeting. All in all, very, very positive, and I'm pretty excited heading into 2020 at Sauble Speedway. But how about the Snowball Derby and the action we've seen on speed51.com? I'll tell you what. The last race of the year, the final race of the year, we started watching Friday night, Saturday night, and then on to today. I was kind of disappointed because I had to do the meeting, which I couldn't wait to get to, but I didn't want to miss the Derby. And terrible for everybody else, kind of good for me, it rained out. So now the Derby actually is going to go live on speed51.com tomorrow night, Monday night at 4 p.m., and that's what time it's going to go green. So you still got an opportunity, if you didn't have things lined up today on speed51.com, to watch the Derby. Trust me, you do not want to miss this race, Junior. It is shaping up to be epic for the 52nd annual.
Yeah, it's, obviously every year we talk about the Derby. There's crown jewel events, and the Derby sits on the top of that little pedestal when you talk about template body late models. The Snowball Derby is the be-all, end-all. Everybody wants to be there. If you're a late model fan, you want to be there. If you're a late model driver, you want to be there. You just want to be a part of it. And, you want to take it all in. When you look at the entire weekend, really, they start racing on Thursday,
yeah.
And they race a bunch of different divisions all the way through the weekend. The qualifying session for the Derby is always, it's the most tense time in short track stock car racing. Everybody trying to get the pole for the Derby, and then as well the secondary storyline of everybody trying to make their way into the show. you know, on Saturday we seen, you know, one of the most highly contested B mains that I've ever watched in my life. You know, just trying to make the show. And of course we seen, you know, big time action from front to back, from the drop of the green flag all the way to the end of that 50 lapper. And you see that all the way throughout the Derby as well. Every single race that takes place down there, whether it be the pure stocks to the pro trucks to the modifieds of Mayhem, pro late model, super lates, and the outlaw cars as well. It's, you know, it's a big achievement to win down there. It's a huge stage to win on.
Oh yeah, and just to make it in,
just to make it into the show is a big stage. So, you know, the entire weekend we had Bob Dillner on. We've always been a huge advocate for the Snowball Derby, but the field that we've seen, they've went through some changes, and they've obviously made it a little bit more attainable. That you noticed a car count bump of an additional 10 cars this year over last year, and the names that went home are huge.
Yeah.
Let alone the names that are in the show. So,
right.
You know, we're going to talk a lot about the upcoming race. I think that you jinxed it.
Oh,
you must have jinxed it because you were like, come on, you put the whammy on it so that you get to watch it tomorrow.
No.
I think everybody should submit at least a $10 travel, you know, you know, bursary to you. To get at least dinner on RTR.
Well,
but
tell
I'm just
you
saying.
What, it's going to be awesome tonight. We're going to kick the show off right now with a driver that had to make his way in, not the way he wanted to. He is going to start near the rear of the field. He had to take a provisional for the Snowball Derby. His name, he drives the number 51. It is Stephen Nassy is with us on the hotline. Stephen, not a bad weekend so far. I know you're in the Derby. You wanted to qualify right at the front, but it just wasn't in the cards. But you're in the show, my friend. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, I've had better weekends, obviously, but, you know, it could be a lot worse. And like you said, we're in the show, so should be a good race.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. Let's start with, why don't we start with last night? You were in two races last night. You came away with a fifth place finish in that Snowflake 100. Great car and coming. And then you turned around, got out of that car, got into the Outlaw car, and you had a great ride in that number 40 car.
Yeah, we, you know, that Outlaw ride was a last-minute deal. We didn't plan at all to run that race. Prior to coming, there's a car that's been really sitting around in the shop all year long that hasn't been raced much. So I think it's been raced twice this year. And the guy that works on my crew, it's his car. He had a heart attack recently a couple weeks ago when we were racing at the Governor's Cup. So we really weren't planning on racing. And then, you know, he started to feel a little bit better. So we decided to go ahead and do it. And unfortunately, the clutch started slipping with about 5 or 10 laps to go there. Which I think we would have brought home a top 10 finish. But then, like you said, the pro race, we were able to come home fifth. I thought we had maybe about a third place car, but I had to start pretty far back in that one. You know, starting 20th. I think the highest I got up to was fourth. But, you know, I ended up coming home fifth.
Big time action in the both of those races, but the Prolate race, the Snowflake 100, man, action was off the charts in this one. Luckily, you know, everybody is still in one piece. A lot of cars got wrecked in that show.
Yeah, there was definitely a couple of scary moments, you know, with that fire and everything. You know, I didn't know for a few seconds on if there was somebody really in it or what the deal was, and then kind of find out that the fuel cell had come out of the race car, and that's what caused the big, you know, flame. But, you know, unfortunately somebody was hurt, and, you know, hopefully they're doing all right. But, yeah, other than that, you know, it's a fairly smooth race, just a couple of incidents.
Steven, take us back to qualifying night now. Obviously, didn't get the result that you wanted to for the big show, but still in the show, like we covered off the top. Take us back to, I know you don't want to relive it. I guess this is something that you don't want to talk about, but we're going to talk about it anyways. You know, what all took place? What were you missing? Do you have a good car going into the Derby?
I think we got a good car. You know, it's tough to say, man. I was feeling strong on the car all weekend. We had really good long run speed, pretty good short run speed. We weren't the fastest on the charts by any means, but I definitely feel like we were top six. Long run speed, I definitely felt like we were the best. So when we come around to qualifying night, you know, being out, I think we went out like 58th or something like that.
Yeah.
Way back in the bag, or like, I think it was like 50 or something, I don't know. But it was just made for a long night of sitting there waiting and waiting and probably a lot of overthinking. You know, my six-year-old nephew now, you know, he said I wasn't focused enough. I was, you know, I had to sit outside the car all night. Oh, you're 7 years old, buddy? I'm sorry, 7 years old. You know, there's lots of little things that go on, but in all, I overdrove the car. I knew I had a good race car. My car is still good. I'm still confident in it. I overdrove it and tried to get too much out of it.
Steven Nassy overdriving a car? Come on now.
Yeah, right.
Come on. That's awesome.
Stay on it.
It's for sure. I know that you guys are going to be good, and it's definitely going to be exciting to watch. To be honest with you, it's good for the fans. It's good for us watching on TV. It's going to be action-packed watching that 51 car come up through the field. So thank you for that in advance, and make sure it's a good show for us, all right?
Yeah, you know, I'm always out trying to put on good shows, and I think we actually have pretty good luck coming from the back. You know, I've won two races this season where I've had to go back in the back, and then, for instance, you know, about 20 laps in both of them. So, and you know, when I ran this race a few years ago, you know, same situation, didn't make the race. Actually, that year I had to run last chance race, won the last chance race, and then almost ended up winning the Derby. I think that's the year me and Byron got into it. So putting ourselves this far back isn't detrimental, but, you know, it definitely makes the day a little bit tougher. But, you know, we're going to fight through it. I know we got a good piece, and hopefully, you know, I can keep the fenders on and keep the tires under me and be there at the end.
Obviously, you know, in the past, you know, the different formats, we've seen quite a few different formats with the Derby over the last 10 years, let's say. But this year, as a driver, what would you tell a fan to watch for to transpire throughout the race this year, just with how everything is laid out with the rules package that is in place and with the you know, with the pit stops the way that they are, what would you tell a fan to watch for throughout the course of this race, not necessarily just from the 51 car, but from a race? Like, what do you see happening in the entire race?
I mean, obviously, with it being the snowball, the last few laps are the biggest, you know, the biggest thing to keep your eye on. I mean, that's when the most excitement usually comes in. I feel like a lot of the guys are going to be kind of riding and saving their stuff. You know, it's not bad to really hold a fifth place position on the track. You don't have to worry about losing it on pit road now that we, you know, have the controlled stop. So I think that'll probably put on a better show for the fans as far as keeping the good cars up front and hopefully battling all throughout the day. You know, I think they've done a good job with the rules and everything they have in place and keeping everybody on pretty level playing ground. You know, you do see that guy that'll go out there and be about a tenth faster than the others, kind of like you see in qualifying. But I feel like when we all get into race runs, everybody's pretty leveled out. And, you know, that's obviously because of, you know, the tech and making sure everybody's, like I said, on a level playing field. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good, tight race. And like I said, as long as, since there's no caution or no, live pit stops, now that we have the controlled caution, like I said, I think it'll leave a lot of the good cars up front and hopefully make some good races.
We're with Steven Nassy tonight. He's a super late model driver. He is in the Snowball Derby. That's going to go tomorrow night at 4 p.m. on speed51.com. You can check that race out. It's going to be off the hook. It's the biggest short track race. It's the final short track race of 2019. And that Steven Nassy, driver, the number 51 from Florida, is going to be in this race. He's got a provisional to be in it. Steven, added pressure from starting back there. And is there a sense of urgency to get to the front as soon as possible so you have track position throughout the race?
I mean, obviously I want to get up there as soon as possible, but you also have to know that, you know, being in the back, most of the wrecks, you know, the accordion effect. You know, you're going to start up front, come to the middle, and finish in the back. So, you know, I have to just watch out for that and, you know, not let impatience get in my way. You know, I need to stay patient, stay calm, and pass cars when I can, you know, not try to take positions I don't necessarily need right away, try to push my car harder than I need to. Try to keep it cool and you know, maintain. And, you know, I think that'll get us to the front. It's done it all year. You know, I believe it'll work again this tomorrow.
Now, we got to ask you, Stephen, before we let you go here, we got to ask you, did you get much shade thrown at you from Canadians after the race over at Nashville there?
Actually not. You know, I have surprisingly a lot of fans in the Canada area. It's surprising how much people reach out. You know, I had a couple that was actually I met in Nashville, not this past race, but a year prior, and they became huge fans of mine. You know, we get emails and everything all the time. You know, I think that everybody's seen what happened in the in-car camera. It's pretty clear as day that there was no room in that hole. So, you know, I haven't gotten any hate.
Good.
Not that I've seen, at least. And, you know, I'm used to getting quite a bit of it anyway.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I wanted to ask you, man. I know you got thick skin. You got thick skin. You can take it.
That's right. Yeah, no, man, I haven't heard anything new, so have to be on our toes this weekend. I think, tomorrow, I'm sorry. Fortunately, we don't have any enemies, I don't believe. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. How was the season for you this year, Stephen? I know the Snowball Derby has got emphasis all on its own, but have a look at 2019, because it's been a while since we've had you on the air. How did the season go, all in all?
This was a good season for us, you know, winning at Bristol. Well, we started off with a win at our home track, Showtime Speedway, and then we went on, you know, struggled a little bit in the regular season, I would say. You know, I don't know what it is with the 100, 125-lap races. In the summertime, but they tend to get us. Just got to work on our setups, and I think we're making gains and making progress, just not quite there yet. But we were able to get that win at Showtime. Then we went to Bristol, we were able to get that one. And then we put on a pretty good show at Winchester, you know, leading 392 at the 400 laps. You know, had a really dominating car there. And then, you know, also at Bristol, we had to go to the back and come back to the front. So I feel really good about the season. I feel like, you know, it's definitely been one of my best yet. I think I've won more races, obviously, in one season. I just haven't won the big shows like I've won this season. So, you know, it's been a good year, and I'm looking to add one more to the list.
Now, you got to get out there tomorrow and go after it. I know you will. You know, Bubba Pollard and, you know, guys like Derek Thorne and Cole Butcher and so many competitive, good cars in this race, right front to back. You got your work cut out for you, but I'll tell you what, speed51.com is where you want to be tomorrow at 4. If you want to see a race, there's going to be definitely one on. And I know, Stephen Nassy, you're going to play right into this 52nd annual Snowball Derby. That racetrack, Pensacola, Speed 51 does a great job showing us pictures of everything. We can't get a real good judge on what that racetrack is like. What's the character of that track, and is it really tough on tires?
You know, surprisingly, you know, in the middle of the year when we were running Blizzard races and whatnot, I thought the track was getting in pretty rough shape. It was eating tires up really fast. It was getting really greasy, not a lot of grip. Was worrying me coming into Derby time because, you know, you see pretty fast speeds when you come into the winter months but Derby time, like I said. So, you know, surprisingly the track's got speed, like I said, but no, the track's just smooth. It's wide, smooth, half mile on the outside, so it's a little bit smaller than a half mile. But she's got so much speed. It's something that everybody has to come witness, you know. If anybody hasn't made it out of the Snowball Derby, that's the track they need to come, or a race they need to come to. You know, even if they can't come to the Derby, the Blizzard races, you know, you get that same feel, just the intensity. And just like I said, the track's just really awesome, really smooth, really racy, two lanes. You can make some nice passes and not too many bumps around. So, you know, you got a couple in there to give it some character, but for the most part, it's pretty smooth all the way around. Like I said, I believe it's one of the nicest as far as racing services go, racetracks in the country.
Are you going to be on the bottom of the racetrack, or does that track rubber up and you can go to the outside, two lanes, and, you know, maybe the high side is the way to go late in the race, or does it stay in the bottom, in the middle? Whereabouts is going to be a preferred line near the end?
The bottom's the preferred line for sure, especially for me. And, you know, you get hung out in that outside too much. It's just my car doesn't handle the arc in the corner as good as some others. You know, there are some guys that do a big arc, get in the corner, and kind of come down a little bit later. Me, myself, I tend to enter a little bit lower, let it wash up just a little bit in the center, and then come nice and low and straight off. That seems to be the best, and especially off of turn two, the way that corner runs with the end of pit road wall ending right there. You can get underneath that apron down there, and there's a bunch of grip, so I tend to stay on the bottom.
Well, if there's grip in the track, I know you're going to sniff it out, my friend. This is going to be awesome. Steven, we thank you so much for the time tonight on Race Time. It's a shame you didn't get the race in today, but I'll tell you what, you made me happy because I get a chance to watch every single lap come tomorrow at 4 p.m. And I know we're going to have our eyes glued on you along with everybody else. It's going to be a great race.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always a pleasure. Like you said, unfortunately, we didn't get the race in today. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting that green flag drop tomorrow at 4 and hopefully get the Snowball Derby trophy and bring it back to Florida with us.
And
back down south. We're already in Florida. Sometimes it's hard. You know, it's hard to remember. You're at Pensacola. You're still in Florida. You know, you feel like you're kind of out of Florida a little bit.
Well, you're real close to Mobile, right? So.
Yeah. Right.
And exactly. And make sure that you're focused on the drop of the green flag. Right. Going back to your 7.
Yeah, that nephew's right? going to hammer you if you're not.
Make sure you're focused tomorrow.
Yeah, my nephew will get on to me if I'm not.
That's right.
I better do it.
Have a good one, Steven.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You bet. Driver of the 51, super late model, Steven Nassy.
Driver of anything with wheels.
Great guy. I'll tell you what, I met Steven, it's got to be 10 years ago now, if not even a hair more than that, as a young driver at New Smyrna Speedway, Speed Weeks. I watched this kid, and man, can he drive the wheels off a race car. And Steven Nassy's been lighting the lamp ever since.
He's exciting to watch as well, right?
He is.
He does things that a lot of other people won't do or won't try. If there is a hole there, Steven Nassy will attempt to take it. And you know, he just puts on a show for the fans. He's appreciative of everything to do with the sport, and really that's all you can ask for in a driver. You want somebody that wants to win no matter what, and that's what he is. And he fully embodies the win is everything, you know, model. And you know, we've seen a different Steven Nassy over the last 2 years, really.
Yes.
Seen him mature
quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've seen flashes in the pan where, where things still go wrong and, you know, Steven Nassy still gets bent out of shape and speaks his mind.
Sure.
And that's going to happen when you're running up front.
Yep.
You cannot be the nice guy and run up front at that level of racing.
It's pretty tough.
And it's basically impossible. To run up front as much as he does, you're not going to make a whole lot of friends on the racetrack. I think that he basically lives by, you know, the motto of bring your friends to the racetrack. And that's the way that he does it. And, you know, for me to bring up the comment about the shade being thrown at him from Canadians, of course, I'm going back to the wreck with Cole Butcher, the 53 car. It was a situation where, Nassy and him were racing very early on in the race.
Cole on the pole.
Cole went down to the bottom and Nassy stuck his nose up top and then Cole decided, I'm going to tuck back in line. Well, there wasn't enough time and there wasn't enough space. It was two guys going for the same spot. So, I meant no ill by asking that question ahead of time.
No.
I just wanted to, you know, throw it out there. But just a great guy. I love watching Steven Nassy race a race car. And to be honest with you, the sport needs more guys like that.
Sure
they,
does.
They need more guys like Steven Nassy. It's just he's an intense guy. And, you know, he's a lot of fun. You know, obviously there's been lots of moments where, you know, it's not a fiery thing, but a comical thing. There's been lots of those too. So, you know, can't say enough about how cool the 51 car is.
The best of the best are going to be taking the green flag tomorrow in the 52nd annual Snowball Derby. And starting on that front row come tomorrow at 4 p.m. is a guy driving the number 53. And his name is Cole Butcher. Cole just missed the pole just by a tick. Derek Thorne is going to start on the pole, but to his outside is going to be the 53 of Cole Butcher from New Brunswick, Nova Scotia. And we have Cole coming on this show next. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Cole Butcher and more talk about the Snowball Derby.
Yeah, this Canada stuff, I'm not quite made for this.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a goddamn.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
You ready to throw some snowballs? What do you say? The Snowball Derby did not go today. Not Mother Nature had her way with everybody. But the Snowball Derby will go Monday at 4 p.m. And you can get it all live on speed51.com, and don't you dare miss this one. This one's going to be off the hook. Starting on the outside pole, a driver that we're always familiar to talk to when we're talking big races and qualifying, it's Cole Butcher, driver, the number 53 Atlantic Tilt Load Chevrolet, and he is from Nova Scotia. He's in Florida, and damn, he's ready to go racing. He's on the hotline with us now. Cole, how you doing, bud?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic, my friend. Hey, another great qualifying effort for you in the Derby. That's awesome.
Yeah, we have a really good short-run car and long-run car. So now that the track's going to be pretty green, everybody should be pretty fast, and it's going to be lots of grip. So nobody really knows what to expect.
You're getting so good at this, Cole. You're going down to the U.S. lots now. This isn't new for you. You're going down. You always, always put forth a dynamite effort in qualifying. You do a great job in the race. Something seems to trigger it. Something seems to happen. When is the bad luck going to start or stop, and when is the good luck going to turn around? Is it going to be this time?
Yeah, I'd like to think so, but who knows? 38 cars on the track, and we're all going for one thing. So, you know, anything can happen, but we can't really control the what is. So we're going to go for one thing, and that's the win. So I'd like to finish top five, top three, and, you know, maybe get a victory. But we'll stay on the lead lap and hope for the best with 300 laps.
Cole, with the controlled cautions this year, obviously, you know that we've seen a decent little spike in car count. Does that play into your hands a little bit more than live pit stops, or what do you feel about that in the Derby setting?
Last couple of years, it didn't really matter for us. We kind of hired a pit crew regardless, so you know, it might give us a little bit more time to think about things, get our stagger right with these spools, and make their proper decisions come race time. So, you know, I'm a big believer in them. I think it helps save teams money and put the family back into the sport. So, you know, we're definitely looking forward to that. We can, you know, you can have anybody changing tires and we'll be having fun. So just bringing everybody back together with racing.
Absolutely.
300 laps around Pensacola, that half-mile racetrack, that is a long distance. How do you attack this one? Starting up front, you should have lots of clean air to run in. How are you going to attack this race?
You have to be fairly aggressive. I mean, these guys want one thing, and that's the win and lead lap. So you got to be on the ball. You can't really lay back because you can put tires on every 75 laps. So you pretty much just go hard from lap one unless you have to stretch a set of tires out. But realistically, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
How long will those tires hang on? What's the guy say in the trailer, your tire specialist? How long is the good in those tires? And if you need to, can you, sort of forget tires, grab fuel, and go?
Oh, no. The good tires are real good for two laps.
Oh, so you're going to need skins for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely tires. I mean, you start running 16 sixes and you're done 17 O's within four or five laps. So just the last 45s, they're a good tire to start out, but they don't last very long. So you just got to be... You got to be smart. We have a really good long run car, as I said, and hopefully it stays like that throughout the day tomorrow.
You're a past champion in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour out on Canada's East Coast. You're a competitor out there in the summertime, at least in most races. You come into this with lots of experience. What does it take, Cole, to go out there, manage the car, but yet be fast and stay up at the front? There's got to be a lot of things playing in your mind as you're out there trying to run a 300-lap race.
Yeah, you know, you got to be physically safe mentally, and you got to have all your ducks in a row. So that's having your car right when you leave the shop and having a good test and making sure you do everything right in practice. So, you know, we believe we've done all of that right now, and right now we're just waiting for the weather to do its job.
Talk to us a little bit about the car. I know that there's been a pretty decent amount of excitement, if you will, and kind of, you know, spotlights on chassis and motor combinations. I seen an article on Short Track Scene where they kind of did a rundown and showing what the field has for chassis and motor combinations. I believe that you were on, like, when you would go down to the U.S., you were always on a Fury product before, if I'm not mistaken, and now you're in a Rowdy Manufacturing chassis with that 53 car. Do you feel a big difference versus the distance that you race up here, the distance chassis that you race in Canada, and the new Rowdy car? Obviously, it's performing well. You're up front, but are you noticing a big difference?
No, not really. Last year we were on Hamkes, so okay. Donnie's always been with a Hamkes, so
gotcha.
Technically we're still running out of the same shop.
Yep.
But, you know, Taylor cars, they have their benefits up here, and Rowdy cars have their benefits down here. Rowdy's fairly new, but they've turned a lot of heads, and so is Jeff Taylor. So they both build really good race cars. I'm always going to have a distance car. Maybe one day we'll have a Rowdy car for down here. But, you know what, they both have their benefits and their disadvantages, but, you know, Southern Racing and Northern Racing is a little bit different, so I don't know. I'd like to bring a Taylor car down here one day, but I like doing what I'm doing right now with the Rowdy and Distance program.
For sure.
How about the crew that you normally carry in Nova Scotia for the Parts for Trucks Tour? How many of your guys do you have down there with you?
I got all my guys except for one. My uncle's not here, so all my guys are down here, whether they're working or drinking beer. But, you know, we have another group of guys down here. Troy Smith, he's my crew chief. We have Powell, the tires, Stumps, Jeremy Upchurch, Donnie Wilson. You know, we got all the guys down here, and if they need an extra hand, then they're not afraid to ask one of our guys. So tomorrow we may need to get their hands dirty, put the beer down, because a lot of people have to go home. But we'll see what happens.
And you guys will be up for it, guaranteed. You learned quite a bit being down there, I bet. There's the who's who and the what's what of short track racing and a super late model. They're all in the garage area there. Are you making new contacts, or are you picking up stuff that's going to help you?
You know, honestly, everything is kind of the same in the end. You're looking to go in as startable size as you can. So how you get there, it's pretty well the same. Maybe you just do it a little different here and there. But, you know, everything's pretty well the same, so... You learn a little bit here and there of what to do and what not to do, but you know, after being racing the last 6 years, I've learned a lot, regardless of being up here or at home.
Well, I tell you, you're like the Raptors, man. You got the country supporting you. You're down there, and Canada couldn't be prouder to be on the outside pole with Cole. That's pretty cool stuff, man. You do us well. I got to say thanks on behalf of all of us. Thanks for doing what you do, because this is going to be exciting stuff.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. Hopefully we can do a little bit more earlier next year down here and see what goes. But we'll definitely be doing some more racing down here and part of the Pro Stock Tour. So I appreciate you guys having me and everything you guys do for us.
Absolutely, Cole. You have a good one. We're all going to be glued to speed51.com and watching that red 53 rocket fly around there. Go get it, my friend. And, hey, don't forget to tuck that Canadian flag in beside you. We want to see that in victory lane.
We'll see what we can do.
Hey, also, I got to say sorry for last week. If you listen to the program, I threw you under the bus a little bit, but it was just for inspiration, just so you know. I'm cheering for you wholeheartedly. I love everything that you do, and, you know, I did throw you under the bus, but it was just for inspiration. It's called tough love, my friend.
Yeah, that's part of the game.
Cole, it's going to be a great one, my friend. You get down there, have a good one, get a good rest tonight, and I know Darren and Ann will kick you to bed nice and early, so you're sharp and ready to go for tomorrow at 4.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate it. Well, hopefully we'll see you guys on Twitter when we get our checkered flag.
You want to believe it. That is Cole Butcher, driver of the number 53 outside pole for the Derby.
Big, big numbers.
On the pole for the Great American 400. Yeah. The guy knows how to get the job done, Junior. He just needs a little bit of luck in the race.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Just execution. And you know, that all comes with time. You know, you look at... the guy can wheel. The guy can wheel a race car, and you know, he's turning heads down there 100%. You know, just a great ambassador for Canada, and he's doing it the right way. He's going down there and posting numbers. But we did get a text from DJ Kennington.
Oh, did we?
He said, if you're going to call me, you got to call me in a hurry, because I'm going to be tied up just before 8 o'clock. So,
oh, is it?
Just so you know.
Oh,
and
okay.
And I said, well, we'll try. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I want to get DJ on here. I'm going to get him on here before 8 o'clock.
Copy that.
We're going to hit this break, because we got to do that. And when we come back, we're going to grab a quick word with Tracy Hoskins, which is also at Pensacola. She is our Racetime radio reporter, and she's going to have a bunch of info for us. And then, fingers crossed, we're going to grab DJ Kennington and talk about the NASCAR Pindy Series going on dirt at Oswego that was announced just this past week. That, my friend, is off the hook.
Yeah, for sure. It's cool. It's going to be fun.
We're going to hit this break, and we'll be back with Tracy next.
Bonjour, ici Andrew Langer, coureur de la voiture 27. Vous écoutez Racetime Radio. I'm Andrew Ranger. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Logano
elbows in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam on the Sabre Baron and he kicks Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. If you're tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167, hello and welcome to the show. Every Sunday night right here on Channel 167 Canada Talks, or maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM, Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Welcome to everyone there, or the Performance Motorsport Network.com, or Gearhead Country Radio. So many different ways of getting Racetime Radio throughout the course of the week. Or you can tune in when you feel like it and just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe when you're at iTunes. We surely appreciate it, and you will never miss Racetime Radio again. But let me get back to the hotline now, shall we? It is not Tracy. We will get Tracy here shortly. What do you say we switch the conversation for a moment over to dirt? Yeah, I'm talking dirt and NASCAR Pinties. I know the two don't go together, but they're going to go together in 2020. And to talk more about that, what do you say we get one of those champions from the NASCAR Pinty Series on here? We have driver of the 17 Castrol Edge Dodge, DJ Kennington. We got him. How you doing, DJ?
Oh, just rolling along. How you doing tonight, Joe?
Fantastic, my friend. What is going on? You guys are going to go on dirt in 2020. This is off the hook.
Yeah, we're pretty hard off, aren't we? I mean, it's a pretty cool deal, actually. I think it's going to be a good show, and Brent Steiners is going to do a good job there at Shriegen, I'm sure, and I think it's going to be a hell of a show with something different, something fun, and hopefully we can get out there and put on a show and have a packed house.
DJ, you couldn't be on a better dirt track, I guarantee you, anywhere. The Big O is the place to be. If you're going to go on dirt, you might as well go on the best one we got in Canada, and that is Glenn Stires and Clinton Jeffries. Those guys do a bang-up job. But how about this for you, DJ? Not only did you qualify and race the Daytona 500, but you're going to be on dirt outside of Hamilton, Ontario. You, my friend, are going to be the most diversified driver there is.
Yeah, either that or just the silliest. I don't know. I mean, it's cool. We were actually able to go do the test for NASCAR, and Glenn and took a Pinty's car to Shriegen, and we actually, Andrew Ranger and myself, drove it and did over 200 laps, and it was definitely different and very entertaining, I'll tell you that.
How much prep work has got to go into those race cars for you to take it from asphalt and put it on dirt, there's got to be a ton of work, or is there?
You know, they aren't going to change any rules, so there's not a whole bunch that we can do. I mean, there's going to be a lot of setup stuff, I'm sure, and like little things just to make sure that, you know, we never really have to worry about the rad getting blocked off with mud or anything like that. So there'll be just little things like that, crush panels and stuff that to deflect mud and so on away from the car so it doesn't gain as much weight as possible. And set up stuff just different. We're going to have the car a lot higher, I'm sure. And, you know, some different springs and shocks and sway bars, and who knows what we're going to need. It's going to be interesting to find out.
DJ, how many times during that test that we've seen, you know, posted by Anthony, how many times during that test did Andrew Ranger say tight entry mid-corner?
He actually never said that at all, but I will tell you, he did spin out 7 times.
And how many times did you spin out, or will we not go there?
He's not going to tell you an honest answer.
It's just the difference between an owner and a driver, and I didn't spin out at all. So
there you go.
It was good. It was interesting. Andrew's got a lot of dirt experience, and you know, we made a lot of changes to the car while we were there, and just tried stuff. We actually took it right like it was on the asphalt, just kind of to go and see what it would do, and do a tire test and so on. And we didn't do a whole bunch, so it was fun. We changed a lot of stuff while we were there just to see what it did. And you know what? It was still sideways and still spun the tires, so I don't know what to tell you.
It sounds like you had fun behind the wheel. It's going to be a hoot when you guys get out there under under a competition green flag. What did you have on for tires? Is it the set of tires that everybody will be on when you go there for real?
Yeah, it should be. It was called a general grabber. Basically, the same thing we're going to run in the rain. They're just a wider tire than what we ran in the rain. And, I mean, it was interesting. It's a whole different ball game. The racetrack changed. We were there all day, and the racetrack changed probably 5 or 6 times. And, I mean, it got dusty at one point, and then all by itself, you know, and the next thing we knew, there was no more dust, and it was slick again when the sun went down. So it's going to be a whole different ball game, and obviously some dirt guys, I think, will have an advantage just knowing the track and stuff like that. And maybe we'll get some of those guys that run Oshkegon regularly, or some guys from the south. Who knows? There might be some guys that come run this race, or girls, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, won't it be cool? That's what I love about it. No one has definitely got any experience other than you guys with a couple of laps on your cars that's going to be in the race. No one's got experience on the dirt in one of those NASCAR Pindy's cars, and that's the true equalizer here. How valuable will Stuart Friesen's phone number be now?
Yeah, well, you know, I've talked to him before, and I'm sure I'll talk to him again. Those guys, I'm really good friends, actually, with Trip Bruce. He was my crew chief when I ran the Battle of the Beach at Daytona. So, great guy, and, you know, we've stayed in touch over the years, and I'm sure I'll be pulling on their notes a little bit. But our cars are so different than a truck, too. So, you know, even the K&N stuff might be a little closer to what we run, and it's just a whole different ballgame. It's going to be fun. I think it's something that's out of our element and something that we don't know, so I think that's going to be cool. And I think it's whoever's going to figure it out the best. They'll probably be the guy in victory lane.
You got to love it when you get a new challenge, and that's what life's all about, right, is accepting those challenges and going after it. This is truly cool news and good on the NASCAR Pindy Series for throwing a curveball at all you guys. It's really going to be dynamite. DJ, testing policy when it comes time for the Pinty Series at Oshkegon. Can you go and test, or is that taboo? Are you going to have to go to a different dirt track and conceal your car to get any kind of laps on or experience?
Well, you'll be able to test at Oshkegon, I'm sure, as long as you can get some time at the track. I mean, it's a tough deal to do, too, because the track's got to be repaired. It's not like an asphalt track sitting there pretty much ready to go. You know, they've got to do a lot of work to get them race ready and so on for Pinty's car. And I'm sure there'll be an open test day that NASCAR and Pinty's will organize, and so that everybody has a fair chance to go out there and shake their stuff down and see what they got. And I think, honestly, the test day will probably be the most fun to watch because the first few times out there, I'm sure it's going to be hilarious watching these guys try to get a hold of it. And I know it was for us, so I think if it's a slick and wet racetrack, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Now, DJ, normally on dirt, there's no spotters. So I just got to ask you, do I get that day off? Or, like do you need me to come? Or do I get to go to the beer tent?
You know what I feel about spotters, Joe. So, I mean, you guys take the day off most of the time, as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks, man.
My favorite's when you guys tell me when to start it up, because I'd never have known when to fire the thing up.
Yeah, 10-4.
Yeah. I always like to help. And I think you guys are actually going to be kind of important there, because you're going to see a lot more coming than we will. And maybe once the windshield's covered in mud, you're going to be the only eyes we got.
Hey. Yeah. I also, just so you know, I'm just pointing at Dad. He's got to click save on this clip here, because I want to be able to replay this. I just want to hear DJ say that spotters are important.
I just
want to be able to replay it on my phone over and over again.
Well, what the heck else will we do with lunch?
That's all.
Everybody's usually pretty busy working on race cars, and if the spotters weren't there, we just have to throw lunch out.
I've got to get my mind right.
Yeah, the spotters, all they do is state the obvious, right, DJ?
That's right.
100%.
Too much fun. Man, this is going to be cool. You all set for the holidays? How's young Chase? How's the family doing? Good?
They're awesome. We actually just spent a couple of days at Greenwood Lodge there in Niagara Falls. Jamie and I and the kids. And I got home today at 8 hour there and jumped in the dually and trailer and just entered the Quebec area. So I had a car to the fleet. And pick it up today and try to be home to get the kids lunches and so on done for morning before they go to school.
Oh, man, no rest for the wicked. DJ, you're always, you've always got those wheels turning, and that's probably why you do your share of winning, my friend.
it's funny. It never ends, Joe. You've always got something to do when it comes to racing, and that's why family's so important in it, because they don't have your back. I'd be in a lot of trouble, and just literally get home and say, see you later on, got to go. So that's the way it is, and it may be off-season, but I think races are won in the off-season and preparation and so on. So we're working hard on the Castro Edge Dodge and trying to get everything in order before the season starts and hopefully start the season off right, because that's the most important thing. If you can get rolling early, you can keep the ball rolling.
Final question for you, DJ. Any chance at all that we're going to see you in the 2020 Daytona 500? Any plans of going down to the big track?
I'll never say never until it's on. So you never do know. I know I'm still talking to a few people and so on. Obviously, right now we have nothing to do down there. We're just working on our pinty stuff and trying to concentrate on the Castro Edge Dodge and see if we can't get it back to victory lane. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. It was January the last time we put a 500 deal together, so who knows? I'm always open to ideas and sponsors, so if anybody wants to throw some money, let's go raise them.
And you know what? Santa always tends to listen, so you never know, right? You got to get it in there. Put that request in. You never know what
don't
the guy
rely
the
on Santa.
Do.
Don't rely on Santa. I've seen you perform, and you're definitely on the naughty list. You got to work for it, my friend.
Yeah, I'm for it. You're right.
Too much. DJ, we appreciate the time, man. You driving down the road and jumping on here with us. This dirt news is fantastic. We're going to check in just a couple of minutes with a guy that, well, he beat your butt at Jucasa, the final race of the year. And we're going to check in with Brett Taylor and find out what his take is on dirt. But this has been great catching up with you and getting your take. Sounds like it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and I look forward to it.
Good deal. DJ, thanks so much for the time. Have a good one, and have a Merry Christmas to you and your family and all the crew and everybody.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me on, and have a safe, happy holiday to all the listeners. And everybody that supports racing, hope everybody has a good one, and hope for the sunshine soon. We can get back at it.
That is DJ Kennington, driver of the 17 Castrol Edge Dodge. And look at this, Junior. NASCAR Pinty's going on dirt.
Yeah, it's cool.
Can't imagine. Man, it's a great idea.
It is for sure. And, you know, when you look at the diversification of you know, the it's not new to put stock car asphalt stock cars on dirt. It's not new by any stretch.
No.
You know, this has been tested numerous times, obviously. It's been tested, you know, with the trucks at Eldora. It's been tested. ARCA has been doing this for years and racing on tracks like DuCoin and you know, racing on you know, big dirt tracks, small dirt tracks. It's going to be different, though, because Oschwecken is such a different style of dirt track.
Oh, yeah. It's fast.
It's definitely
big time fast.
It's going to provide a good race. There's adequate banking there. The fan base is ravenous.
Yep.
You know, Pinty's has had a great relationship. Of course, they did, you know, the shows this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with the, you know, the live shows that they did, they show the fan base, and the fan base is so ecstatic all the time.
Yep.
They've done a lot of work bringing people and putting butts in the stands.
Yep.
I think when Pinty's goes there, it's going to be a massive race, of epic proportions. For short track racing in Ontario, that would be a racetrack and an event that I would circle on your calendar, because the atmosphere is going to be through the roof.
The schedule is not out yet, right?
Correct.
We haven't seen,
know. And we're also hearing lots of different little changes within the schedule, kind of offline.
I'm hearing lots of changes.
We're hearing lots of changes.
Some positive, some not so positive.
I mean, it happens.
Sure.
And I think that they'll continue to work on a really positive schedule for what the teams can produce. Obviously, you know, with the addition of dirt, it's going to be a really exciting event.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I look forward to seeing what comes down the line with the rest of the schedule from Pinty's. I imagine the flagship races will still be there.
Yep. Here's open.
You know, looking forward to seeing the you know, the truck weekend at Mossport. I can't see any of those style races changing up.
Well, CTMP has launched its schedule,
exactly.
And you can
it's
see
on
when
there.
The Pinty's races
exactly.
are.
So,
yeah.
I'm really, really optimistic heading into the year, but one of those races that you got to circle on your calendar. I don't care where you're from in Canada. I think that the event is going to be big enough where you'd want to travel to go see it.
Yeah.
That there will be cool as heck to watch. And, you know, hats off to everybody involved, you know, and the buy-in from the teams has been spectacular, too. Everybody's
Good.
Excited about
Good.
It.
Good. That's the way to have it.
It's definitely going to be cool, and I can't wait to get there.
Well, there's a lot of dirt fans across Canada, right? You've got Estevan Speedway out in Saskatoon, just outside Saskatoon there. Go out to Edmonton, out the Edmonton area. Castro Raceway Park is out there. I believe it's still Castro Raceway Park. A lot of dirt tracks out there. And for those fans that are out there, you want to see the NASCAR Pinty Series, you see them at Edmonton International when they roll through, or at Wynak Group Speedway. You want to see them on dirt? Cool part is you can get cheap flights from wherever you are out west, out east, and you can fly right into Hamilton, which is real close to that racetrack. I'm talking minutes, and very few minutes it would take to go from that Hamilton airport. There's hotels around there, and the speedway is right there. You want to talk about put a trip together and go to see a race? I bet you could do that. I don't care where you are. You could get cheap flight in and out with a hotel and tickets to the race. I bet you could do that for under $500. And you'll be able to see the NASCAR Pinty's race on the dirt at Oschwecken, one of the best tracks in Ontario, one of the best tracks in Canada.
Really?
When we're
Absolutely.
Talking dirt. And this is truly going to be spectacular. We're going to talk more about it. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on news and highlights, take 90 seconds. Then we're coming back for hour number two. In hour number two, I got Tracy Hoskins. We're going to talk about the Derby and get you totally up to date there. And we've got Brett Taylor, driver of the 46, NASCAR Pinty's car, all on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. We still got lots to come. Hour two will begin in about 90 seconds from right now. Back to you in Toronto, Scotty.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes here on Race Time Radio on SiriusXM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight right here on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Oh, there's so much to talk about. We're going to go back to the hotline. We had to get DJ pretty well when we got him there, or we weren't going to get DJ, and I really wanted to hear from him. And I'm glad we had him. If you missed it, you can listen to Racetime Radio on demand. Just get to iTunes, like I told you before. But what do you say we go back down to Pensacola, Florida, and we welcome in our in-race reporter. We've got Tracy Hoskins. She's embedded with Augie Grill that ended up finishing last night's race second, so I know Tracy's got loads of information for us. Trace, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How many snowball derbies is this for you now?
It's been a few. I'm going to say about six or seven.
That's what I was thinking. Total. Yeah. You get down to those races quite a bit. What's this year's derby looking like to you? I know the weather sucks right now, and the race is going to go tomorrow on speed51.com at 4 o'clock. But how's it been down there?
I can't complain. Honestly, you know, going into this weekend, weather has always kind of been on the radar. Even like Tuesday, Wednesday, it was looking like Friday was actually going to be the washout. And it's been that Friday and yesterday were great days. Just a little bit of rain and precipitation on Saturday there. But other than that, it's been great until today. And Mother Nature wanted to come out and play. And she's still raining here in Pensacola. They weren't able to get the track dry. And we didn't really have a window. So they're going to go ahead and run that tomorrow late afternoon.
Yeah, forecast look good for tomorrow, Trace. What's the forecaster saying?
It looks decent. You know, just a little bit of rain, maybe a little bit in the morning, but sun and clouds in the rest of the afternoon. So I know that Tim Bryan and all those guys at Five Flags are going to do whatever they can to do to get this race in tomorrow for sure.
Yeah. You hate it when the weather comes in and spoils the plan. But really, when we had Bob Dillner on here last week, Bob said it could be cool. You know, I don't think they were forecasting rain at that point, but he said cool temperatures, which isn't going to be bad for the Canadians that come down. It's going to feel good. But it was looking like cool. It wasn't that way. You guys ended up with some sunny, nice, warm days until today.
Yeah, it's actually, can't really complain for weather-wise. I mean, last year was, you know, we had a lot of rain last year, and that, you know, washed out Friday and Saturday. And, you know, we only raced on Sunday last year and had to go back the weekend after. So we've been fortunate this year, you know, all Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the sun was out. It was nice. You know, it's typical for the temperature to drop in the evening where you have to put a jacket and stuff like that on. But it's actually been a little bit nicer this year than in previous years. So that's been nice aside from today's weather, unfortunately.
The cars are definitely quick, and you got a pile of them there. It looks like the grandstands were loaded up beautiful last night. How are things looking on that side of the fence? Lots of cars.
Lots of cars. And, you know, derby cars, there's 57 derby cars that were entered into race this year, which is actually 10 more than they had last year. So that, you know, they had a full field of cars, a great last chance race. I mean, there was lots going on last night in that last chance race. You know, there's lots of controversy there, but some really great racing, some, you know, really fast cars. I mean, Derek Thorne, he laid down an absolutely astonishing lap for Derby qualifying. You know, he was 0.2 quicker than the rest of the field there, and you know, he's going to be definitely one to watch tomorrow. And you know, Pit Pass is the new app that they're coming out with down here, and they've actually put up an extra $10,000 for the pole qualifier if he actually wins the race. So Derek's on, you know, racing for that extra $10,000 for tomorrow's race as well.
How about that for a carrot? Nothing will make you run like an extra 10K into your jeans. That'll make you go a little quicker, I can guarantee it. Speaking of that,
He'd wreck his grandma to win the race, and now they put that up. He'd wreck the whole family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Last night's Snowflake 100, the prelude to the Snowball Derby. What a race last night. We witnessed it on speed51.com. Both of us kicking each other. We weren't there.
I wasn't kicking. I'm but, not allowed there.
Yeah, well, you're not.
You're you not are. You're,
I'm allowed.
I'm not allowed there.
I know. Well,
I'm an international criminal, apparently.
They know you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was quite a race. Augie Grill, which I know you are basically embedded with that race team. Augie had a great night. Man, I thought he was going to win and be the historic four-time winner of that race.
We were hoping. But yes, I am embedded to him in Grand America Race Cars. And, you know, we actually have 13 cars down here this weekend through Pro Late Model, Super Late Models, and the Outlaws. And I was really hoping that he was going to, you know, bring it home for the fourth time and, you know, create that record. But just didn't have those cars played in our hand last night. And, I mean, hats off to Derek Thorne. You know, him and Augie ran a great race. Lots of great side-by-side action on those restarts. They, you know, they have mutual respect for each other. And before the race even started, Derek had come over to us and to Augie, you know, had said, you know, well, how do you want to start this race? You know, are you going to go off the box, or if you're going to go off and start the flagman, and, you know, how do you want to start this race? And they had that conversation as just mutual respect for drivers. And Derek's a great racer, you know. Congratulations to him and his whole team. But definitely kicking myself a little bit, because I really would have liked to see Augie win last night for sure.
Tracy, I know you've got your eyes peeled on that race. I know you have got Augie in one eye, and you're watching everybody else with the other one. Any standout new names that are going to start to surface being at the Derby and laying down something that's really turning heads? We got any standouts down there that we're going to be looking forward to talking to in the coming days and years down the road?
You know, I think, to be honest, Jake Garcia, he started racing a couple years back, and he's, you know, he's just a young kid, and, you know, he races a lot now with Pro Late Model Series, and he's, you know, dabbling in a bit of Super Late Model stuff, and he won this year down in Georgia at Cordell. You know, he's definitely going to be one to watch. He's a great young driver who's, you know, he's worked his way up, and he's gained the respect of other drivers and just really learned how to race the right way. And it's a great family. They're really great people in general. And, you know, I don't even know how old he is. I think he's only like 15 or 16 years old. He's just young still. And, you know, I think that he's going to be up and coming for sure. And he's definitely one that has a lot of speed behind him. So he's going to be one to watch in the coming years, that's for sure.
That's cool. And that's what we're looking for, right, Junior? When you get to these big mega events, you do find some of those diamonds in the rough that are going to start surfacing.
Absolutely.
And onward and upward. Look at, I still got that card that Eric Jones sent us from back in his day.
Yeah.
We've still got that, and I cherish it. It was when he was running Super Late Model. He won the race, sent us a card. We had him on the show, and it's just kind of cool. Look at him today.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look at races like the Snowball Derby, it's got the same appeal as, you know, the ARCA race at Daytona. You know, it's got the exact same. You've got the veterans. You've got guys like Rich Bickle out there. You've got the veterans of the series, but then you also have all these up and coming names. When you look down through the list, the Snowball Derby entry list, when you look at Chandler Smith, you know he's of course made a name for himself already on the ARCA side.
Yep.
You know, he's stepping into a KBM truck full time, and you know you've also got guys like Raphael Lessard. You know he's not running this year, but he has, you know, last year.
Ran the Derby,
You know, the names that you look down the list, hell, there's guys that you know, like Jordan Anderson. He races trucks full-time for his own team, and he doesn't even make the show. Harrison Burton running Xfinity doesn't make the show. You know, so there's a lot of names that are, you know, either on the up-and-coming side of the list or they've been there, done that on the list.
And here they come again.
And then you've got everybody in between. So it's the Derby is you know, one of those crown jewel events, and it's the who's who of super late model racing. That will never change. I know that they've got an additional car count this year of an additional 10 cars over last year, but last year's field was just as stout.
Yeah.
So it's an intriguing, you know, trend right now to see an uptick of cars, and I hope that continues. But really, you can't handle more than 57 late models at a race.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
There's a tremendous amount of people there. So I love the Derby. I think everybody can echo it. There's nothing else that you can say about the Derby other than it's kick ass and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, next week we're going to have storylines that come from the Derby right here on the program.
Yeah.
And it's a week after it happens now because it's going to be pushed to tomorrow, but you know, they'll still be current. We'll still talk about the Derby next year in August.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that it is. And that's the way it'll always be.
Sure is. We have Tracy Hoskins on the hotline with us. Tracy is at Pensacola at Five Flag Speedway for tomorrow's running now. It did get rained out today, the Snowball Derby. You can catch it all live on speed51.com, and you'll be able to witness that race. Going to go green at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Tracy, the feel in the pit area. I know you're in there with Augie. You've talked to a lot of the drivers that are going to be in that race tomorrow. What's the feel? What are they saying? Is there any sort of different mentality or different way of attacking this 300-lap mega race that we're going to see tomorrow?
You know what? I've seen a lot of drivers just, you know, kind of push everything aside and just be really calm about tomorrow. You know, that was supposed to be today. But just the whole atmosphere is, you know, that not too many people are too overly excited, anxious about it, that they're just taking it all in and just, you know, mentally preparing themselves for what tomorrow will bring. You know, Casey Roderick, he's in a Donnie Wilson ride, you know, this weekend, and he parted ways with Ronnie Sanders, and you know, Ronnie has been selling his stuff off, and he's getting out of racing. So, you know, his ride tomorrow with Casey, you know, that's a big deal for him, and that's going to set the precedence on where he, you know, races for next year. So, you know, he's got a lot of that on his shoulders. But for a lot of other guys, you know, Bubba Pollard, he wants to win a Derby really bad. He has yet to have a win. You know, he's won three times with the Snowflake, but has yet to get that Derby win. And I know that he's hungry for it. They didn't even roll out their pro late model during practice session on Thursday, and they held off and, you know, just focused on their super late model. So he's super focused on trying to get that win tomorrow because, you know, he wants that prestigious trophy as well. So a lot of guys really hungry for it, but a lot of guys just kind of taking it all in and, you know, getting their mind right and not playing the mental game of everything and just, you know, taking that back seat and just relaxing a little bit. Trying to go into tomorrow.
Yeah, cold as ice, right? Trying to chill and take it easy in the Snowball Derby. It's going to be off the hook tomorrow at 4 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. Final question for you, Tracy. Who are you going to take to win the Snowball Derby 52nd annual running?
Well, I can say that I'm biased a little bit. You know, Augie, I really hope that he does well, and I really would like to see him win his third title. In his third race and bring home that trophy again. But if I had to pick a second driver outside of our GART guys would be Corey LaJoie. Him and Fathead Racing, you know, they put together a good program. And Jamie Elton, they have a great car set up. And he's fast. You know, I know that, you know, he races in the NASCAR full-time and that sort of thing. But I think that he's kind of an underdog coming into this weekend. And they showed speed late in practice and early in qualifying. So I think that he's going to be one to watch tomorrow for sure.
You tell when you see Corey, you got to tell him, make sure he's ready to part with one of his shoes if he does go to victory lane. We want it signed, and we're going to pin it up here in the Racetime Radio studio. That would be cool. Too funny.
For sure.
Tracy, this has been great catching up with you. As always, we can always count on you to get us right up to date. Oh, how is Justin, by the way? I know there was an injury last night. Can you, any updates on that, on Justin?
I can actually do that. So I talked to Kristen not that long ago. So he was involved in that scary wreck, and I mean, I have never seen something like that before. Like, the entire fuel cell came out of that car, and just the way that he came up and hit Justin, and that, you know, everything just happened so fast, and the people that pulled him out of that car to get him there. So he was actually transported from Pensacola here. So he's in a hospital now in Mobile, Alabama. He had surgery last night on his leg, and he will have surgery again, I believe, on Wednesday. So he has a severe complex break in his leg, both of in his tibia and his fibula. And then he's also got second-degree burns, primarily on his hands, his neck, and close to his mouth area. But, you know, safety personnel and bystanders pulled him out of that car enough that, you know, it wasn't worse than it was, we'll say. But, you know, he's recovering. He's in good spirits. He is in the ICU. They have taken him off a ventilator. So he is recovering. He will have a very long road to recovery. But, you know, he's going
to
be okay.
Man, you hate to hear somebody get hurt, but it is comforting to hear that he is on the mend and he's going to get healed up. We appreciate the report there. And Justin, go after it, man. Good luck. And we want to see you back at the racetrack. Good to hear that everybody did their job. One other thing that I want to mention, too, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody at the Pensacola Naval Base. And that tragedy that took place, I know that's got to be definitely a topic there at the Speedway.
Yes, you know, and we have our prayers before every race are to those victims' families. And it was a scary, scary feeling, you know, waking up and hearing that on the news. And, you know, as we travel to the racetrack, because it's right down the road, seeing the amount of police presence that you have to drive through to get here, it was just kind of gives you an eerie feeling. Cause, you know, we're fortunate enough on the necessarily have to deal with that a lot in Canada.
Yeah, you're right. And
it's predominant down here.
Yeah, and good to see the professionals there.
It just gives you an uneasy feeling. But it's unfamiliar for me personally. But, I mean, everybody down here. So the racetrack, typically, when they do their 50-50 draw, they give half of it back towards the drivers this weekend. And last night, they raised 50-50 draw, over $3,000. They have put that towards the victims' families instead of giving it back to the drivers. They decided to put that towards the four victims and give back that way to the community. So that's something that Racetrack is doing, but our flags are flying half-mast here in honor of those who were injured and involved in the act.
Yeah, terrible stuff. Thoughts and prayers are with everybody there, and just to the first responders and everybody that took charge of the situation. It's just amazing. Tracy, this has been great catching up with you. I know you're in for a dilly tomorrow, and I know we will be too. We'll be on speed51.com watching you down there, lucky girl.
Thanks. I'm really hoping for a good race, and, you know, it should be. It's full of excitement, as always. It's going to be a grueling 300 laps for that trophy, that's for sure.
You betcha. Have a safe race. Have a safe ride home. We'll see you next time, right?
Okay, perfect. I will keep you guys updated tomorrow.
Absolutely. That is Tracy Hoskins. We can always count on Tracy to pull through and take us right into the Speedway. She does a lot of those U.S. races down there and always does a great job. She's got a finger right on the pulse of what's happening in there, Junior.
Absolutely does a great job, and a massive ambassador for the sport, for sure. Just a lot of fun, and looking forward to hearing all about it and how the Derby went.
Yeah, lucky girl. She's going to be right there. Well, lucky for us, though. Speed 51 is just like being there.
It is, for sure. Yeah. It's definitely pretty cool.
Dillner and his crew. I heard Jim Trado there last night. Jimmy, one of those cornerstones. Every time I hear that voice, I get goosebumps. I go, oh, there's going to be a race. I know there is.
It's like normally your spidey senses go off.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back off to Canada's West Coast, we're going to get a driver that took it to the whole NASCAR Pinty's series on the last race of 2019 at Jukasa. It was Brett Taylor, driver of that number 46 car, that took the boys to school. He even pushed that number 3 car right out of the way for the victory. We're going to talk to Brett Taylor next about going on dirt. Yeah, that's right, the Pinty series, going on dirt in 2020. More about it when we come back.
this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Baby, hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
Listen to the bass here. Oh, I faded it. That's a good tune. That's a good tune. I love it, that my buddy Kid. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. You having fun yet? We're getting lots of messages on the phone. Your phone's been buzzing, so is mine. Lots of people tuned in. We sure do appreciate it. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in a guy that took him to the woodshed at Jukasa Motor Speedway. He drives the number 46 in that NASCAR Pinty Series across Canada. He's from out west. Let's welcome in Brett Taylor. What's going on there, Mr. Taylor? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Fantastic, my friend. You are going to go on dirt. What did you think of that when that was announced?
Oh, man, I don't know. At first, I didn't know what to think, but I can tell you I downloaded about $200 worth of new content onto iRacing to get tuned in here. So.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's going to be good. Now, any experience on dirt, any at all?
You know, aside from the gravel roads down to my grandma's house, or that's about it, man.
Well, you know what? You're going to be in the same vicinity as most guys in the series. Can't say all of them, because Junior, you were saying Andrew Ranger's got lots of dirt experience.
Yeah, he's got a ton. But
I
really
didn't know that about
Andrew. There's not a whole lot of cross section of dirt competitors in the Pinty Series. You know, like it's not. It is pretty cool that there's so many people that haven't been on dirt.
Well,
you know, like
Cole Powell is one. I was watching him. Yeah. He was running at a Suikend this year.
Yeah, just a little bit though.
A little bit, not a lot.
So, like, there's no other than Andrew Ranger. I don't know of another Pinty's competitor other than like Dexter Stacy,
right.
Derek White, Brandon White did some. You know, quite a bit of dirt racing, and then ice racing as well, which is very similar. But really, when you look at the Pinty's series regulars,
right,
there's not a whole lot of guys that have spent, you know, more than five or six races on dirt if they've done any at all.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think Jason White's done some.
Yeah, Jason White the other day.
Yeah.
Whitey's done some for sure. But when you look at it, it is relative. Like, it's cool because, you know, you've got the road courses and you've got a bunch of road course aces. And then you've got the ovals and you've got a bunch of oval aces.
Street course.
And you've got street courses as well. But really, when you look at the dirt, it's going to be a massive equalizer, I think. And I think that there's going to be some really neat content come from that race. Not just good hard racing, but there's going to be some neat content of different variables, you know, because
I think it's great for the sport, although I don't think Andrew Ranger needs any more perks to his game.
Yeah.
We have a tough enough time keeping up with him on the other tracks.
Well, you showed him how to get it done at Newcastle last time. Oh, buddy, like I told you when we had you on the show after winning that race, you get to ride that horse all the way through to the first race of 2020.
Oh, you got it. I am, man. I still watch the race every once in a while.
Once a week, whether you need to or not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
100%.
No, I guess things are still cool with me and Jason. I was invited to their house there last week and I stayed the weekend there.
How'd that go?
Oh, it was good. You know, I was expecting to wake up in the middle of the night with like a knife to my throat or something by Jason, but I survived.
He didn't push you down the stairs or anything like, whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to hit you.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. It was an awesome experience, and you know, it was good for the team. It's a great thing for EHR to have two teammates battle it out like that to show that, you know, we can still race competitively and be clean.
100%, and it was a clean move, and really it was a picturesque bump and run. You know, even if it wasn't a teammate, it was still a clean move.
It was a bump draft.
No, it wasn't a bump draft. It was a bump and run. It was not a bump draft. It was not a helpful punt. What was yours, though. You had the better car. You were proving that lap after lap. But let's go back to the entire season here, Brett. At the end of the year, you get you know, the Driver of the Year award, most improved. What was the exact wording? It was through NASCAR, though. You got the award right at the banquet. Was it most improved driver? Is that the title of it?
I don't know. You know, it's funny you ask, because I was kind of fishing for those words out of NASCAR, and they really don't have, you know, a sentence, a coined sentence, so to speak. But you know, the NASCAR managers, they elect a driver that they see has essentially been most improved. Yes, that's probably the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
And you know, I was honored to be given that. You know, I was like, out of all the drivers in this this year, you know, you could even look at Andrew Ranger. He hasn't won a championship in what, I think 10 years or
10
something
years.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it's not like he's improved much. Like his skill, he's always top of the series. But you know, an argument can be made that he was the most improved driver, but you know, I feel pretty special to be given that award.
Absolutely,
you
and you should.
It, my
you did
you
earn
it.
When you look back at the year itself, really there was a couple turning points. Obviously, you ran very well right out of the box. You know, the first couple races out. You know, I think back to the practice session at Jucasa Speedway for, I guess, the first oval of the year. And you jumped right to the top of the charts and stayed there. And you know, it wasn't but eight laps into the race, or eight laps into practice, where you jumped up there. And really, you know, it was an unknown for everybody because it was a new tire. And really, we've seen the speeds completely different than where we thought they were going to be at Mossport.
Right.
For race number one on the road course. And really, it was an unknown going into the oval as well. We didn't really know where everything was going to shake out. And you laid down that lap. And really, it stayed there at the top of the pylon. And that doesn't happen. You know, that doesn't happen in the Pinty Series. The first practice session and the first, you know, the first time those cars hit the racetrack, that time usually is going to get bumped by the end. Or you're going to go out there and make your car better and get faster and beat your own time. So really, there's a lot of shuffling that happens on that pylon during practice. And you made the run, you know, I think it was about eight laps in and jumped right up to the top of the charts. And I believe you ended that first session. There was the lunch break, and then I believe you shook out like fourth or fifth. But really, a lot of people, their eyes opened up, and they were like, wow, that was a good time.
There's Brett like Taylor.
That, yeah, hi, Brett. Welcome to the show, you know? Like, because in the past, you had struggled, and you were trying to get your footing, and you were trying to get, you know, there as a driver, and you were trying to get a team under you and everything. But I feel like that was kind of the turning point of your racing career, really, right there in the Pinty series. Then moving forward, I know that you didn't have races that you would want to have until you got to Saskatoon for race number two, and that was a defining moment of, hey, you're not here to just lay down a couple fast laps, you're here to race. And you and DJ raced each other harder than anybody can race each other without wrecking each other. And you were right there in the fray, and from then on, obviously you had a couple heartbreaks, like at Edmonton, and you know, at St. Eustache, you know, you were there, you were in the mix, you were competitive, and then when you got to Jucasa, man, that was wild, and I got a hats off to you. You earned that trophy that NASCAR gave out, and it was probably one of the best placed, of those trophies that go out there. You know, usually it's a sentimental pick or whatever. You earned that one.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't a better fitting driver that needed to get that. That was you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's thinking back and reminiscing on this last season, there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows. It's hard, right, in this series, because I'm from out west. You know, I fly out to Toronto, usually I'm in Toronto area. Like, I land in Toronto and just drive to most of the tracks. It's a lot on my family, it's a lot on me, and it's so rewarding when you can go out there and make your mark, you know. And I think what we did at me and EHR proved at the end of last season. Because, beginning of the season for Jason wasn't the greatest as well. Like, he had a lot of bad luck as well. So I think me and him turned it up quite a bit for EHR. I can't wait to show you guys what we're going to do next year. Because me and Jason, we're going to work a lot on our road course program. We've made a commitment to Ed that, you know, we've got to be finishing, top six at these road course races, because we're going for championships. So.
That's cool. And that's what I was about to ask you. How is the plan for 2020? Because I know not everything is released, but with the news coming out that you're going to be on dirt at Oswego, it's got to energize everybody. So obviously things are looking good for you guys for 2020.
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, I was down in Toronto there last weekend. I went down. We just had a team meeting and, you know, a nice Christmas dinner and that. It was fantastic. And boys put me to work on my car for a little bit. I can tell you, I got, you know, maybe a 10% done of what they could get done in an hour. But I felt good. I got something done on my car. So besides cleaning the window, but we're really excited about this dirt setup. I think it's going to be a new dynamic for our series. It's going to bring a lot of new fans, and therefore it should help us get to new markets for sponsorship. I'm definitely going to be wearing an old race suit to the race, because I don't know how dirty it's going to get. But you know, there's a lot of commitment from the NASCAR teams, and I heard you guys mention earlier about that we've all jumped on board and with it, and we have. You know, I think a lot of guys are still trying to figure out, like, you know, do you convert your oval car for the one race and then turn it back for Jucasa? You know, what do you do? So I think this first race is going to be a huge learning curve for the entire series, like drivers, the teams, everybody. So, you know, what I'm doing to try to be ahead of that is, you mentioned earlier, there's Estevan, a dirt track is close to, somewhat close to me. It's like a six-hour drive, but, you know, I have some friends that race there, so I've already talked with them. We're going to go do a bunch of test days in spring and, you know, get used to driving on the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, I think if we could just keep our nose clean for the first race, then we should be able to get a good finish.
Yeah, big thing about dirt, what I've noticed, and I'm not no expert on dirt tracks, but I have been to Oswego a number of times, have been to Merrittville and Humberstone, and I've been to quite a few dirt tracks and witnessed races, been there and reported on them. What I find is the biggest adjustment for anybody that's a pavement racer is you don't get the practice time like you do on asphalt. That dirt track, you're lucky if you get four or five laps in it pretty well to warm it up. Okay, you're off the track. That's it. Get ready. We're going to go race. So you pretty well,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, you got to have your homework done long in advance of that race night. I can tell you that. You will not get the practice time that you're used to.
With NASCAR, though, it's different. NASCAR, like with this deal, it's going to be different. They go out there and they turn a bunch of laps for practice. Like it's
10.
No.
10 laps.
No, that's a conventional dirt night. But like when you look at Eldora, it's going to be very similar to what they do at Eldora. And there's a test day the day before at Eldora. Now with the NASCAR, there is though.
Well,
the day
see.
Of the race is different.
You'll see.
But with NASCAR, there's going to be, I can guarantee you, there's going to be ample time where these guys are going to be on the racetrack. Whether it be an hour and a half, whether it be 45 minutes, it's going to be a completely different setting for testing versus a regular Saturday night show at Oschweken.
Yeah.
100% guaranteed, and I can guarantee that.
Well,
I hope you're right.
It will. It's not going to be a flash in the pan like it is with a modified if you're going to race at Humberstone
or one
of those.
We'll get Clinton Jeffrey on here to answer some questions.
Well, it's going to be up to NASCAR. It's going to be up to NASCAR on the timing.
I know.
I guarantee there's going to be hours of testing.
A dirt track is a dirt track, and you do not get the same practice on a dirt track that you do on a pavement
track. A dirt track doesn't get a spotter.
I don't care if you're NASCAR.
Are in.
I don't care if you're NASCAR or not. A dirt track will dictate what you're going to be able to get for practice because they don't want to screw the track up for the race.
It's going to be the day before. Though.
You
That's
will see. You will see. Well, it's going to be interesting. Yeah. See? What? Just the conversation alone right there is going to be very interesting. Brett?
I'm wondering if they're going to do what they're going to do for the break, if it's just going to be a break race, if we're going to have to work on the cars.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
K&N filters. You're definitely going to want to get the best filters you can and put them on that machine. Now, I say that Oschweken's got to be the cleanest dirt track I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
That track is, and you can watch MAV TV. Pinty's actually was sponsored a bunch of races this year on at Oschweken. They're on MAV TV, and I know they're going to re-air throughout the course of the off season. Have a look at those. It's going to give you a really good idea of what that racetrack is going to be like. I can see you guys on it. It's going to be magic. It's going to be a great race.
I think they're going to have to prep it a little differently for our cars than they do for the other ones. So
I think so,
probably
too.
Have to make it a bit drier.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. We'll get Clinton Jeffries on here, and we'll get you some lowdown, try and get you some insight into what you can expect next summer, bud. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's going to be dynamite.
Looking at 2020, Brett, obviously you had a great breakout season. What is success for you in 2020?
What is success?
Obviously everybody that drives a race car is going to say, I want to win the championship and I want to win all the races. But what is personal success within the Pinty Series for you?
I would love to finish on the podium on a road course race. I know that's a high expectation, but that's how I always live my life. You know, if you don't shoot for the stars, you're never going to make it even close, right? So that would be a huge success for me, especially given the talent we have in our series. I definitely need to win a couple more races. Obviously, I set on the championship. I know it's a huge task. I know there's a lot of luck that's going to be involved to get me there. But, to sum it up, podium, road course race, top five or top three in championship points, win at least two or three oval races.
Wow.
Good deal. There you go. You got your goals all set. It's going to be awesome. I'll tell you what, the fans are going to win when you have got your goals set and everybody else does. That's what we pay our money to go see. And we're going to get our money's worth, Brett Taylor. I can see it coming.
Yeah, we'll put on a show for you guys. That's There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. We thank you for your time tonight on Race Time.
No problem. We
sure look forward to seeing you behind the wheel of that 46 machine. And from
May not
all
be
of
46
us...
next year, boys.
Oh.
A little hint.
Could have a little number change, could we?
Yeah.
Oh, I would look forward to that. As soon as you got some news, you let us know. We'll get you back on here.
Well, just tell us what it is now.
I'd love to be on the show.
Just tell us what it is now.
He's not going to tell you.
Oh, I don't know yet.
Come on, Brett. Don't do this to us. We hate cliffhangers.
We
love
it. I got
to give you guys some reason to have me back on the show.
All right, can you tell us the numbers that it'll be between and we can take a guess?
Between 1 and 100.
1 and 100. There you go. Because you can't have a three-digit number.
I'm going to kick your shin when I see you. The right shin, just so you know.
Okay, sounds good.
Brett, you have a good one. Have a Merry Christmas, from all of us.
Thanks.
You betcha.
Take care.
You bet. That's Brett Taylor, driver of the 46. Another one excited to get on the dirt.
I want to talk about this, how much of a benefit this is going to be for the Pinty Series. And when you look at the Pinty Series itself, it obviously, you know, for the longest time was an oval series, right? And with CASCAR, and they would race on a couple of road courses with CASCAR. The NASCAR Pinty Series and Canadian Tire Series has been different. It's always been a relatively equal number between road courses and ovals. You've seen an influx of the Quebec contingent, and a majority of them have backgrounds on road courses, right?
Yep.
They're coming into the Pinty Series. I think, you know, given the amount of money on the dirt side and given the amount of talent on the dirt side, there's an opportunity here where you're going to see, if this is a long-term standing event, there's going to be an influx of dirt drivers from Canada get the shot or get the opportunity or work for and earn the opportunity to go into the NASCAR Pinty Series as an avenue for them to build their motorsports program. And when I say that, you know, you look at down south, you look at guys like Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick and all those guys, they come out of the dirt side of motorsports. In Canada, we have not had that at our premier level. And it will be really cool to see if we can generate some impact from the dirt end of our industry here in Canada and put them into the NASCAR Pinty Series on a full-time level. I think that there is a massive opportunity for growth there, and I think that's the end game here for the NASCAR Pinty Series. It diversifies the people and the talent that you can generate into the series, which then is going to help build into the future and down south as well. So I think that that is the biggest opportunity for the Pinty Series, and I applaud them for that.
Well, we'll see what all transpires. I can guarantee you one thing. It's going to be interesting, and we'll see how everything's going to unfold here. That's what they get the off season for us to look at the new year. Can't wait. It's getting more exciting by the minute. We're going to hit this final break. We got lots more on the other side. Stay with us.
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
boom. Perfect! Yeah!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
the need for speed.
They're racing door to door in turn four.
Then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. I said on the last break that was Ked. That wasn't Ked. That was Buffalo Brothers. This is Ked.
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, you see, I was ahead of myself. But they are instrumental. I love both those.
We're going to talk about the Sauble rules.
Yes, yes. So what a day at Sauble Speedway. Totally different. Totally different is what we're looking at for 2020. You got to look at Saturday night racing. And at the beach, I can go back a bit here. 12 years ago, I used to own Sauble Speedway. And back in my day, we had, I'm going to say maybe 100, 110 cars total registered to Sauble Speedway. I had four divisions.
Yep.
And, you know, like we had a lot of cars.
Yeah.
We had a lot of our own house cars.
Yep. It was a bad night when you didn't have a full field in every class.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was actually a bad night. But over the 12 years, and then, you know, you come back in, over the 12 years, a lot has changed. A lot has changed not only at Sauble Speedway, but at a lot of local short tracks. I'm not saying all. I'm saying a lot.
Yes.
Where the car counts have dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. At Sauble Speedway, it was a dire situation. We had a lot of guys that had race cars that were no longer racing, and it begs the question, why are you not racing? How come you're not racing? Everybody that I'd bump into, I'd see a guy at the racetrack, man, you used to race. Where's your car? Oh, I still got it. How come you're not racing? Can't afford it. Can't afford to do it. Can't afford to do it.
Or not competitive.
Not competitive.
That's the secondary thing.
And there was a lot, and I mean a lot of those. And those all hurt every time I heard it.
Yes.
Because, you know what, the fan wants to see these guys race.
Yeah.
The guy that has a race car wants to race.
Yeah.
But with the rules package that we had at Sauble Speedway, and I'm only saying we. I'm not saying everywhere. I'm just saying we at Sauble had a set of rules that every year we would make changes to, tweak them, whatever the case may be, to try and satisfy the class and trying to make it better. And it always seemed to cost you another two or three guys. They'd fall out. Maybe one would come in.
Because it's costing them $2,000 or $3,000.
Every time.
Or four or $5,000.
Yes.
And inadvertently, while you made rule changes, you were eliminating people and you were eliminating parts because of them not wanting to, not having the ability to spend the money to get there.
Well,
right?
You get a guy that, you know, bought a new car, I don't know, 3 years ago, say. Say you bought a new car 3 years ago, and I'm talking about a late model.
Yeah.
You bought a late model 3 years ago. You had the state-of-the-art 3 years ago. You had, I don't know, that, let's call it a $50,000 car.
Yes.
All it took was this year for somebody to buy a brand-new state-of-the-art car.
Yes.
And your car was out of date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was happening so often that guys just quite truthfully couldn't keep up. And I'm talking Saturday night racing here.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about tours. I'm not talking about traveling series and all that, because things are looking pretty good on that side.
It is.
And, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about Sauble Speedway on a Saturday night.
Yep.
The numbers keep dwindling and dwindling and dwindling, and you get down to where this just doesn't quite truthfully make sense anymore. It doesn't make sense for the competitors. Doesn't make sense for the race fan. So we got to do something. We got to change something, because if we do the same thing, we're going to get the same result.
Yeah.
So we went out on a limb. We went out on a limb. You had a great idea.
Yep.
Taking a look at drag racing, and neither one of us are very big drag racing guys.
Nope.
But they do have something that's pretty cool if there was a way of adapting it to an oval track, and that was bracket racing.
Yeah.
Where a time is set.
Yep.
You know, in drag racing, if you're going to go run a bracket race, it doesn't quite matter what the configuration of your car is.
No.
You can go out there with whatever you got. just don't break that time.
Now,
and the time is set.
Exactly.
So we're going to use that same model at Sauble Speedway in 2020 where we're going to set a time.
Yep.
We're going to set a time because today we're going to take yesterday, we're going to take the roots of the sport.
Yeah.
And amalgamate them and put them together with today's technology.
Yes.
That is the best way to describe it. Today at Sauble Speedway, we got a brand new scoreboard. We got the latest software. We got the latest, greatest in scoring, electronic scoring.
Yep.
And we're going to be able to monitor every car, tell
every
you
lap.
Exactly every lap, every car that's on the track.
Yep.
And the cool part is even the crew will be able to look, or the fan, we'll be able to look at race monitor and see exactly what time yep. every car is doing on the racetrack.
Exactly.
So if we're going to set a benchmark, and I'm going to say this, just a hypothetical, okay? This is not the number by any stretch. I don't know what that number is because we got to take all of the data that we've got and compress it.
Yes.
And come up with a logical time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, for argument's sake and discussion purposes, the time, let's call it a 15.5, a 15.5 second lap.
Yep.
15.500. If you run a 15.500, and I don't care what configuration your car's got.
No.
It doesn't matter to me. I don't want to see you do a 15.499.
No.
Otherwise, you do that, you break the bracket. And you are escorted off the track or black flagged off the track because you broke the time.
Yep.
So the idea is to go right up against it, but don't break the time.
Yep.
How you get to that bracket, it is irrelevant. So no longer are teams put into a box.
Yes.
Now you can utilize any resource. It's going to put the ingenuity back into the race team. It's going to put the creativeness back into the race team.
Don't break the time.
And it is going to be way, way more affordable for those race teams to do it. And in that class, we got an 8-cylinder class and we've got a 4-cylinder class.
Yep.
The 8-cylinder class is going to be like a super stock, a limited late model, a old all-star car, anything that is a late model driven car.
Anything that,
And it's an 8-cylinder. Yeah. It has to be 8-cylinder.
Within
it has
a certain wheelbase, within a certain...
That's right.
All those things.
Very, very few have-to-bes. Very, very few. And we've got them up on our Facebook page. Everything fits onto one page.
Yes.
Everything, including the payout.
So when you look at, and going back to it, it's easy to take... it's easy to go and write a check to any chassis builder today that is $40,000-$50,000 and to get a new car.
Sure.
In 2 years' time, guaranteed 2 years.
Yeah.
There are so many updates to that car needed to bring it up to what they had just sold.
Yeah.
There are so many updates needed that you basically may as well buy a new car. Again.
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 And again.
And again.
Yeah.
So I don't want to take business away from chassis builders.
No.
I don't want to hurt anybody in the industry.
Nope.
But when you look at this program, what you've got the ability to do is to race that 2005 Super Stock that you had built, that you spent all your money on.
Yep. That currently is a boat anchor.
With a couple of changes that are very minimal. A new carburetor,
whatever you want to put to
set
it.
Set of tires. I don't care
whatever
what it is.
You want to put to it.
Something cheap.
Yep.
To bring it up to competitive numbers.
Yep.
And whether it be 15.5, whether it be 15 flat, whether it be 15.411, whatever the number is.
Yep.
Don't break the time, but get as close as you want to it.
Yeah.
And
get right up to it.
Now, the difference between that and bracket racing.
Yep.
Guys are going to say, well, you're not going to be able to pass.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you
are. I don't
are.
Care if you're Dale Earnhardt and you built a $70,000 car. That car is not going to turn 15.500 every single lap.
Nope.
If it
does,
newsflash,
Dale Earnhardt will call
news
you.
Newsflash, this class is not for that guy.
No.
Newsflash, this series is for everybody who's at the grassroots level of racing.
That's exactly what it's
for. And the guy who wants to go all out, if you want to lay down the fastest time that you can possibly lay, and you want your hair on fire, and you want to go as fast as you possibly can, you're not racing a super stock anyways.
Right.
And you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That guy should be in an Outlaw Super Late model. That guy should be in an Oscar Modified. That guy should be in an APC car.
Yep.
That, if you...
There is a home for those guys. And it's cool because those series are very healthy and they're doing fantastic.
Exactly. And now this class here, this division, is meant two things. It's meant as a feeder division.
Yep.
Up the ladder. You want guys to become more competitive. You want them to graduate to the next level.
It's Saturday
night. And you want
to
race at the APC level. You want to race at the Pinty Series level. Wherever you want to get to.
Yep.
If this is the be-all, end-all, it's not a bad thing. 15.5 or 15 flat or whatever the number is still fast enough to be exciting.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Like, 15.5 is a fast lap time around a quarter mile.
Oh, yeah.
And the fans can't see the difference between 15 flat or 16 seconds at all.
Nope.
You do 10 laps at 15 seconds, you do 10 laps at 16 seconds, and ask the fans which one were faster.
Ask the driver.
They won't know.
The driver won't know.
So, with this class, with this division, the neat part is nobody has to make an adjustment. Nobody has to change a thing. It's not hillbilly racing.
No.
This is going to have a ton of ingenuity to it.
Sure it is.
It's going to
be all about it.
There's going to be a tremendous amount of intrigue by guys. And I think that immediately, if you are a true blue racer today and you are capable of winning races, there's going to be red flags fly up in front of you and you're going to say, I hate this.
Yep.
Because it's changing what you were built on and what you were ingrained on. What the fan pays money to see at the back gate is not a guy that is half a second faster than the field.
Nope.
In fact, when the guy is a half a second faster than the field, it impedes what the fan is there for.
That's right.
They want to see close, good, hard racing.
Yep.
Now, every rule that has ever been written since the beginning of time in motorsports has been written to equalize.
Yes.
What better way to equalize than to equalize the time?
Yes.
Allow you to do whatever you want to do. If you want to get a carburetor from the scrapyard that's a four-barrel Rochester, go for it.
Yep.
If you want to use a
Brzezinski intake or a Vortex.
If you do want to cheat a crate engine, which, I mean, 50 people listening to this program have cheated a crate engine.
Yeah.
If you want to cheat a crate engine, go for it.
Well,
I don't care.
This won't be cheating anymore, will it? There is no cheating.
This eliminates the ability for a racer to point at the racetrack and say, it's your fault that I didn't win. It's your fault that I can't afford to do this. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault.
That's right.
No, it's not. It's time for you to put up or shut up.
Yep. To get into it.
And guess what? My rule book does not make you spend a pile of money.
No.
You spend what you can and use your brain and you can get there.
Sure.
It does not cost a lot to build a car that'll go 15.5 or 15 flat around Sauble Speedway.
Nope.
It does not cost a lot of money to do that.
And I'll tell you, it's a ton of fun to go do it. If you're a racer, there is a ton of fun in doing that. Competitiveness, races there. Everything that you want is there.
Every racer wants to race against a competitive field. Every racer.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. Everybody comments about how close the field is in APC. Well, guess what? From front to back, the split is like
two-tenths of a second. Yep.
In this case, the same idea will be there, but you don't need to spend 70 or 80 grand to go do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the APC series is not a place for some people.
Oh, no.
Is the place.
Yep.
Or the Oscar Modifieds or wherever. But in this case, I'm telling people, please keep an open mind because it's not going to be bracket racing with two guys going 10 seconds.
No, this is full racing. Yes.
It's full on racing and you're going to have to use your bumper.
I got to stop you right there because we are plumb done out of time for tonight's show. We will have lots of discussion about this. I got to say, we had a room full of people today, a very positive outcome. Over half of them took this idea that we discussed over 2 hours and loved it. Some were undecided and need more. There was four guys that said it's a stupid idea. So that's not too bad when you look at it. I think we're on to something. But that's going to do it for tonight's Racetime Radio. Don't forget to get to speed51.com tomorrow, 4 o'clock, for the Snowball Derby. You don't want to miss it. Got to thank Sue here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank you for tuning in, and Scotty back in Toronto. That does it for us. Have a good one, and we'll meet back here next Sunday night, live on Racetime Radio. Have a good week, everybody, and watch that Snowball Derby. It's going to be off the hook.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.